everyone, and welcome back to Reimagining Work from Within. I'm Emily Shelton, and I'm here in conversation with Lori Bennett and Bev Atfield. Today, we are here to talk about AI. We have had two conversations about AI previously in relation to purpose and strategy. Can AI write your values, and can AI write your strategy? Today is more personal than that. It's about how we work now. So we've been evolving Within's vision on AI. We've been talking about what we believe the future of AI will look like. And we believe that the evolution of work is superhuman. That's what we want to get into today. And it's our first time inviting Bev Atfield in on this conversation with us. So hi, Bev. Hi, Lori. Are you guys ready to chat about AI?
Hi, Emily. Hey, Lori. Good to be here. It's fun to be on the other side of the mic for a change. And yeah, excited to dig into this juicy topic of the day, which is, I guess, the topic of the day for most people right now.
Yeah, I'm excited to get back into this. It's changed so much since our last couple of conversations, and great to have Bev's perspective in here too.
Absolutely. Well, I want to kind of just jump us right into the conversation. I think that we have two different perspectives to share here today, what we're kind of seeing internally and what we're seeing externally. So I'm going to kind of bounce us back and forth between those two different perspectives, and let's see what we learn together. Lori, where does Within find itself right now in relation to AI? How has the conversation shifted over the last year?
Well, I think it's shifted from it being this interesting thing to explore that's kind of new and fun and not that scary, mostly exciting, into something that's really become all-consuming of workplace conversations around culture and the future. I think it's impossible. It feels impossible now to talk about what's happening with the evolution of work somehow factoring AI. Some of the deeper thinking that we've been doing over this time has been, what does the arrival of AI into this space mean for a company like Within? We've gone from seeing it as a quirk to deal with in our work to possibly, and this sounds terribly dramatic as an opening statement in the podcast, but an existential threat to what we do. Why would people need human Within people to come in and help them with aspects of their culture, articulation and development, and the tools that we need to understand how things are going inside a culture, the ability to build strategy, when AI can seemingly do so much of that work without us? And so the thinking that we've been doing is kind of, well, what's Within's role in a future that has AI in it? And how do we continue to make that something that inspires us and that gives us a mandate to be doing great work in service of more human work out in the world?
Yeah, that's great. So would you say that we're no longer asking whether AI will work for us, but how it will be working for us? Is that a shift that you've seen
in
the tone?
We're resigned to the fact that it's going to be here and it's going to make a really big splash. And so I think, yeah, it's less about whether or not it's going to be a part of our future in a meaningful way, but how do we make it a part of our future in a way that's really meaningful to us? The big questions that sit out there right now around AI replacing people in the workplace, AI taking on the kinds of things that people do at work, and the big question of, well, what do people do at work and what is work left behind? And I think we're finding ourselves now having some really interesting thoughts from Within's perspective around how can we use this amazingly powerful tool not to replace people, but actually to make work more human than it's ever been before.
And what about you, Bev? What are you seeing out in the world of work? What are organizations and employees grappling with right now?
Yeah, I think we're in this interesting moment in time where as we're having these thoughts and we're considering what this means for us as a business and a group of folks who are passionate about work and how to leverage that for people, we are in the context of the wider world. And there is this significant shift that is happening for society. And I'm reading a book right now by an a person who is interested in the economics of this shift that we're making. His name is Imad Mostik, and the book is The Last Economy, A Guide to the Age of Intelligent Economics. And I'll just read the quote because this really made me sit up last night as I was thinking about this conversation. And he says that we are the generation that will live through the discontinuity, the last humans to remember when human thought had economic value. And we are the first to discover what comes after. And that gave me chills, but also gave me like goosebumps of like excitement around the opportunity that this could offer to us. And I think it's right now as a business, you can take a glass half full or you can take a glass half empty approach to this, right? And I think that there is very much in the conversation right now around this new technology potentially leading to the destruction of the human race. That's the very far end of, like, Laurie, you were talking about being alarmist or dramatic, but that could be one outcome, right? There is one other outcome of many that could be that we create this technology and we adapt and we use it to be more prosperous than we've ever been before as a species, right? And I think for me, as I think about what Within's position on this is, because, I mean, we can't control or change the process and the course that AI is going to take. But we are able to listen to our clients and take a position on what this could mean for people in the workplace. And maybe for once and for all, we can actually find a way to let humans do the things that they are really great at, right? Creating, innovating, planning, thinking, dreaming, right? Those are all the things. However, there are some realities that are going to get in our way. I think there's a few things that I'm seeing out there in the world right now. There's a lot of optimism about what AI is going to do and how it's going to make us more efficient and how, yes, it's probably going to lead to some jobs being displaced and doing things that humans used to do, right? Yes, that is reality. But I think that there is also this friction where we are not ready to actually capitalize on what this could mean for us as humans. So there's a lag between the appetite for change and the ability to actually structurally make the change in business, right? And a big part of that is there's this tension from the C-suite and from stakeholders to want to jump on this AI bandwagon and get the productivity gains. But then we've got the folks who are advocating for the people, the workers, the doers of the things or the makers of the widgets in these businesses that aren't there yet. And so there's this real tension between the HR function and generally speaking, the C-suite function. And what I think is fascinating about that is that this is not a technology problem to solve. This is a human problem to solve. And I think we have to be aware, and I know that we already are thinking about this for our own clients and for ourselves, around how are we going to bring people along with us? People who are fearful, anxious, don't have a great appetite for change. In the Global Talent Trends report from Mercer for this year, we just had a conversation with Kate Bravery, who is one of the lead authors of that report. Only 44% of employees are thriving right now, right? So that's the lowest number in that report in 10 years. Right. So when you've got this base of people who are already struggling and you've now got this pressure to perform and adapt because of this existential crisis that we're feeling, that is a recipe for disaster, right? You can't bring disenfranchised people along with you, right? So I think there's a real human challenge, and I think it's going to rely on the leaders to now step in and lead in a different way. And I mean, that's a drum we've been beating for 10 years, isn't it? Around human-centered leadership. So I think there's a big swirl, like there's a lot in there that I just kind of threw into this conversation. But I think it all comes down to me to one thing. Again, it's a human problem. It's not a technology.
Absolutely. There's so much to dig into. I love that quote. And the ending of that quote was what stuck with me, which is that we have the opportunity to kind of shape how this evolution moves forward if we get to decide what it looks like on the other side of it. So that to me feels pretty empowering. I want to focus in on the vision that we've been talking about internally, which is that the evolution of work is superhuman. So I want to get a little bit more into the risks and realities. But before that, I want to dig into the evolution of work as superhuman. So I'd love to actually understand where that came from. Laurie, could you give us a little bit of insight into our thinking there?
Yeah, the evolution of work is superhuman. I think as we've been thinking about not just AI, but what the future of work looks like. What's always been important to Within is that work is a place of meaning and purpose, and that the way to get to that for the last 10, 15 years has been to tap into the humanity that people get to experience at work, the real things that make people connect to each other and connect to the impact that their work has. And so much of the time that's been about starting to move away from the structures and the systems that were developed through the Industrial Revolution in the name of efficiency and production, productivity, where workplaces became these very structured environments, very high on control. The hours that you work, the way that you show up, the way that you dress, the way that you're managed like almost a machine. Ironically, we kind of invented machines to help people at work, and then we had people behave like machines alongside them. One of the things that seems to be really exciting about AI and the associated kind of machine learning and capabilities that that brings is, well, maybe now for the first time in a really long time, people don't have to be machines. Machines can be the machines and people can be the people. And that there's something really powerful about that idea. That when we think about the future of work and how do we make it human, AI can feel like the single biggest threat to that, that it's going to come in and replace and reduce the value of humans in a workplace. But there's another side to that picture, which is maybe AI's been exactly the thing we need in order to finally liberate us from having to behave like robots at work. And that if AI can take the work that has felt robotic and mechanical, that can bring knowledge, yes, and insight and this amazing ability to process information and data, what does that do to enable people and empower them in ways that we've never had access to before? Years of education and training and learning can be at our fingertips now, seconds away. And so that can be a really terrifying idea, or it can be one, I think, which if we can leverage and channel that in the right ways, could actually help us make the work that we do as people at work more human than ever before. And that's really exciting. And I think considering the evolution of work as being this superhuman place where we get to be superhuman, we get to concentrate on the aspects of being a human that are most powerful, our capacities for empathy and imagination and connection and love, all these qualities that sit there that we know are the foundation of what makes work meaningful and underpin ways of leading that make for way more human workplaces. That kind of stuff we get to really focus in on, knowing that the other pieces and aspects of work that we do can be boosted by this incredible technology that can help us step into that space. So for us, I think it's an ambition and it's a bit of a call to action to say, what can we do with this technology to make sure that it becomes something enhances the human experience of work rather than removes it. And it's a huge challenge that I know we don't have the answers to yet, but that's the way of looking at it that I think makes sense for us as Within to hold. And I think it's the thing that a lot of leaders out there are struggling with right now, which is some way, as Bev said just now, the way to balance the incredible opportunity for efficiency and productivity that it brings with the high potential to having a real toll on the human experience of work. And how do we hold those two things together? Well, we take that dark force and we bring it over to the light side and use it for good.
Yeah, I want to hop on that real quick with a bit of a hot take. I think you're right, Laurie. I think that there is lots of room to feel optimistic, but I think that we are also at the mercy of a handful of actors here who are determining the course of human history, right? So we've got just a handful of really powerful people who are leading the way with AI development and to get us to artificial general intelligence. And I've been quite skeptical around their motivations and like, what does that mean for the rest of us, right? Like we are downstream from their decisions. But there's a glimmer of hope because I was listening to an interview with the co-founder of Anthropic, Daniela, has had some quite vocal opinions about what AI should do and what humans should do. And I'm going to read another quote because I think that this is like really something for us to hold on to as a glimmer of hope in the course of the future here. And she said, "In a world where AI is very smart and capable of doing many things, the things that make us human will become much more important, not less." And I really felt like that aligned with where Within is feels we need to go. I mean, that is about the future of work or the evolution of work being superhuman, right? It is about doubling down on the things that humans are able to do that we should not delegate or automate and allow machines to do, right? And why wouldn't we want a future where we could get the both, best of both, right? Not the best of one at the expense of another. Right. So I think what I'm holding right now is a bit of like helplessness because we are all just in this simulation is what some people are calling it, depending on your philosophical view. But nonetheless, like this is the reality, right? Like there are other people that are making really important decisions right now. And I think that's why it's really important for all of us to have an opinion and a voice around what do we want this to look like for us and what could it be rather than just having this decision thrust upon us and have to deal with the fallout of it.
Yeah, really, really powerful and kind of leads me to my next question, Bev, which is that we have this vision of where we see or what we see AI could be, the potential of AI. Is that vision something that you're seeing in other leaders? We've talked about the select five that are making some big choices, but maybe in the other group of leaders that you're seeing day to day, do you think that they have similar ambitions?
Look, I think we're still grappling with what this actually means for us, like in the day to day. And I don't think anyone actually has the answer. I know that a number of our clients are really forward thinkers and they are trying to solve this problem for their own business and adapt as they need to. But I think the reality is it's a moment in time where I don't think anybody really knows. I mean, I suppose you could say that about any big change in the course of history, but I just feel like the velocity of this change is what's curious and different for us. And I think leaders who can say, I actually don't have the answer, and I'm just going to bring curiosity to this and have a conversation with people around what they're feeling right now. That's the most important thing you can do, right? Because I just don't think that there is anybody out there who actually knows what this is truly going to mean for us as we go forward. Laurie, what do you think?
Yeah, I do think that that's true. And I think that that is true as well, as you say, of so many aspects of what's going on. AI is one thing right now in a tumultuous world. And I think when you don't know what's happening in the future, you've got to try to shape it and create it in some way. And whilst there's a few people who have a lot of power around this, I think there's a lot of people who have some power around this, especially within organizations and leaders in organizations, and to be able to make this something which adds something meaningful to the human experience of work. And I think we've said that for a long time around, and it's why we, as Within, why we work with business, is that they're these amazing containers of society. And the leaders within businesses have a real capacity to shape the experience of a large number of people. And this is no different. The tool is the tool. And the way that we use it becomes the really important thing. In the wrong hands, it'll become something that could be really destructive to culture and beyond that to society when used with the right intentions and in a way that is designed to support more people rather than fewer. I think it can be an incredibly powerful thing. And I think there are so many opportunities for leaders, even now, even in the confusion of what all this is going to mean, to turn back to their own purpose and their own set of values and ask themselves, how does this new thing help us live into those things more? And as we think about integrating it and bringing it into our worlds, how do those aspects of what have always been true and important for us continue to shape and guide how we step into an unknown space around this? And so I think the culture of an organization has so much potential to shape what AI looks like inside that organization. And AI has so much potential to enhance stuff for us if we use it and we approach it in that way.
Yeah, thank you. Oh, go ahead, Bev. What were you going
to add? Yeah, I just wanted to jump in there. I was just thinking, Laurie, as you were talking, that before AI even arrived, humans have done a pretty good job of destroying culture, right? With toxic leadership, with practices and ways of being that have not served the well-being and the creativity and the joy of humans, right? I mean, historically, over the years, like, employee engagement has been very low, right? It's very hard to engage people. And that was before AI. So I think, hey, like, let's see what AI can do for us. Maybe we'll be able to move that needle a couple of points.
Yeah. And I think it's like anything new that comes in like this, it doesn't necessarily change everything, but it changes the volume of everything. So if you've been doing something, if you've been leading an inhuman culture, AI will accelerate that process for you. If you've been leading a really human culture, AI has the possibility to accelerate or amplify that for you. So the human is still sitting there holding the controls for this. And I think one of the challenges in these moments is not to throw out everything because the system has changed or the paradigm has shifted and imagine that it needs something completely different, when in fact, so much of the things that have been developed inside of cultures up until now will be the very things that we need to draw on to be able to navigate this disruption too.
Well, I think that we've done a pretty good job chatting about the risks and the opportunities here for AI. Something I wanted to just touch on, we've talked a lot about, like, societally what could be at risk with AI. I think that there's also potential loss in creative processes with individuals as well. I think that if we find people relying too heavily on AI to create something, that we miss the moments of discomfort that are required for making something, if that makes sense. I think that AI is really great at streamlining, and I think that streamlining isn't always needed in creative environments. Right. So I don't know. I just think that that's something also to consider, that humans, we confront struggle when we're creating or collaborating with individuals, but that struggle is what helps us get to the other side and make something meaningful. And while AI has the ability to make our lives easier, maybe there's risk in that too. So just something that I've been chewing on lately. Is it better to make or to make with intention, right? And AI does not have the ability to discern like we do. So now I'm just on my soapbox, but
that's an interesting perspective. And I would say dot, 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 yet, right? I think for us to imagine that we will not get to a place where the artificial intelligence thing can create like us, I think that's, we need to be careful with that.
Yeah.
I think the other force that we're going to have to reckon with is the market tension of commoditizing something like creativity, right? In that quote at the beginning that I shared around, what is the value of human thought when it's cents on the dollar for creating a new logo or spending $500 with a graphic artist? The market isn't going to be able to support the graphic artist for very long. So I think we're going to have to reckon with some realities that there are market forces at play. Yes, I mean, we don't want to lose what the essence is of being human, being able to have creative thought. But how do you combat the market force of that, right? How do you protect that, especially if it's your profession, right? If it's your intellectual pursuit, to be an artist and to go into the forest and paint. Well, that's a different conversation as someone's profession, right? So
yeah, absolutely.
I think there are more conversations to come is where I think I'll leave that.
I have such a juicy one. I love this. I feel like this is the debate that's out there right now. Back, Emily, to some of those previous conversations we had around, can AI create your values or write your strategy? And the executive summary of those being, it can give you a really convincing outcome. Mm-hmm. But the journey to it has lost all its meaning in that space. And there's something really important about those journeys and how things happen, not just the outcome that we arrive at.
Yeah.
And so I think that's going to be the kind of stuff that we wrestle with and wrangle with. These are the things which have been deeply human processes in the past around creativity, around that you mentioned there, the ability to discern and have wisdom. And there's something in that which is, yeah, AI is going to get really convincing in those spaces and ultimately can't be in the same space as a actual human connection in that world. AI cannot love you. It can sound like it does. It can tell you that it does, but it can't. And can it have empathy in the way that a human has empathy? I don't believe so. Can it dream about a future state in a way that a human can do that, that's driven by an emotion rather than an algorithm? It can give you a billion possible future states, but it can't tell you which one makes your inside single. Just, I think there's going to be some things in that kind of space that become really important. And I don't think it necessarily will remove the value of them. It might increase the value of those particular things, the things that are still inaccessible in a world where seemingly everything becomes accessible. And the thing that I've been really encouraged by, and I think this is probably mostly from creative agencies and people out there in the world, is the concept of slop, which seems to be in a word that's arriving into the AI universe of like, it's fine, but it's slop. Or it'll do the job, but it doesn't have the magic somehow. And I think the value of not slop will still hold something. And I think the human experience of creating together, of feeling empathy, of dreaming together, that's the stuff that I want to see become the things that we get to do the most of, because that's where our value really lies. That's where the source of joy and meaning in our work sits. And if AI can tee us up to do those things with even more energy and insight and focus, then bring it on.
Yeah.
Awesome. I think what you're hitting on there for me, Laurie, is that like it's relationships at the heart of it, right? And I have some real questions around, can a machine be a proxy for the relationships that we can build, right? And if we bring this down to our context, and maybe there's some listeners here who are also in consulting or B2B situations where they're having the same existential crisis, it's the relationships that are the foundation of how we run our businesses, right? And our clients don't come to us simply for outputs. They come to us for transformation. And that transformation happens because we can build trust. We can listen in the room. We can co-create something, whether behind a Zoom screen or in person in a joyful workshop, right? And I think it's the connection and the community and the touch point that we offer and that we can build because we have that capacity as these organic beings, that is, I think that's where we are most certainly doubling down on, right? When we say that the evolution of work is superhuman, it's more human than it's ever been, right? Because we have the capacity to do the things that machines cannot, right? And I mean, future will tell us, right? We'll see how that unfolds. But I think for now, like, as I'm thinking about it, it's the relationships that are what we offer. And that's where we get joy in our work, right? It's not just using a tool for the sake of using a tool, right? We will rest on the tool to help us do the things that we want to do, most certainly, but it comes down to the connection and the humanness of it all.
I think it's in danger, isn't it, of sounding like work becomes this whimsical place where we dream and have empathy for each other. But I think it does also touch on some really critical aspects of decisions and accountability and things as well. I don't think that AI is going to be well positioned to make decisions on behalf of people yet. It can inform them and provide insight, but ultimately somebody's holding the accountability for that that can't be devolved to a machine. And it's really difficult to imagine that sort of capability inside a business being replaced by AI. And so, and I think that's the danger of AI coming into organizations in the wrong ways, is imagining that it is a replacement for creativity or empathy and relationship or decision making, that we can devolve those kinds of things to it, that the coach that you speak to or the mentor that you work with is a bot, not a person, that the creative process becomes feeding a prompt and having something appear magically seconds later, that decisions become a quantitative assessment of logic by a bot. Like, I think we get into some really dangerous territory around what happens inside organizations if we replace the wrong stuff as we go forward.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I want to be aware of our time. This was going to be a short, snappy conversation, but it's impossible for us not to dig in on these juicy topics. So I do want to speak to you a little bit about what we're doing at Within. We're working on something currently, a way of articulating what we believe about AI and how we use it at Within. So we'll be bringing updates to you about that over the coming months. This definitely feels like a continued conversation, right? I think that this is not the end. This is not the beginning either. We've started it a couple of years ago. So I would love to continue this conversation with you over the next year and see how this continues to evolve and develop. I would like to ask you one more thing before we go, which is, if we were to take this conversation, if we were to reopen this conversation in a month or 2 months, Where do you think we should go next with it? What feels like a natural place for us to dig into or to look at as we are in this journey?
A lot can change in 2 months.
It's true.
I think we'll have to recalibrate in 2 months about what has actually changed since this conversation.
Bev will be a bot in 2 months. And so that will change everything.
Yes, yes.
The upload will be complete.
I really love these tensions that we've started to talk about. I think there's some really interesting and important things to tease apart in conversations about creativity and decision making and empathy and coaching, and, well, really, how do you start to use this power of discernment that we're saying is so fundamentally human? How can we start practicing that now to understand really practically what are the things that AI can really support us with and help us with, and what aren't, and how do we tell the difference between those two and start to make sure that the kind of systems that we're building out inside our cultures and inside our businesses respect that boundary.
Yeah, I think there's so many rabbit holes we can go down as we continue this conversation. And I love this format. This is, and I hope that others will join us and be part of Absolutely. The conversation. Like, that would be great. We'd love to hear from our audience around things that you would like to hear us riff around and bring you our thoughts on. But I think I'd like us to keep focused on this notion that this is a human problem, not a technology problem. And I think that there's much to solve and there's much to be hopeful about, but I think we have to have zesty, hard, challenging conversations around it, right? Because we still have the ability to shape our future. And let's lean into that humanness as we go forward from here, controlling what we can within our own business and the people that we impact through our work.
Awesome. Amazing. Well, I think, I'm excited to continue to dig into it with you and excited to see or witness this evolution. It does feel like we are in a very interesting spot as human people getting to experience this alongside of the evolution of technology. So thank you both for your time. Thank you both for sharing your thoughts. And we will see you next time on our next AI pod conversation. So stay tuned, listeners. Thanks. Reimagining Work from Within is available wherever you listen to podcasts.